2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry. The show goes on. We continue here, episode number 211 of Live Mike. Thank you so much for joining us. There have been over 222,000 Utah ballots processed. That is, as of this morning, almost 100,000 in Salt Lake County alone. And if you take a step backwards, have been just about 40 million ballots cast nationwide. That is shattering records. All right. Unprecedented numbers at this stage of the game. And if history repeats itself this election season, voting here in Utah very luckily will not be marred in intimidation at the polls or laced with fraud. We've had it pretty tame here through the years. We've had a number of election cycles to rehearse this mail-in balloting and get it down just right. And in my humble opinion, here in the state of Utah, we've really become an example for the nation to follow. And we'll see if that example is followed. Seeing after Election Day how smoothly the process did take place in states around the country. But 2020, as I said, it's not a traditional year. And with the call by the president for poll watchers, and there are some groups that are deciding to initiate foot patrols. We've heard anecdotally foot patrols to protect public buildings. We really do need to talk about something, and that is the safety at polling locations. The safety not only of the voters themselves, but in the integrity of the process itself. All right. We here in the United States are a special place. And this ability to vote is one that sets us apart from some other parts of the world. And it's one that makes this great experiment possible and special. And it is a function that ought to be protected at all costs. Now, I got a note yesterday from the office of John Huber. You know him. He's a frequent guest of the program, U.S. attorney for the District of Utah. He's the one that announced that big takedown of those. There were some drug pushers that suspected some folks having guns illegally, all of them under, as it's alleged, the umbrella of a white supremacy group. That was John Huber. We've talked with him, too, about affinity fraud and how there have been some egregious federal crimes committed against Utahns in this COVID era. And, well, now he is setting his sights on protecting the election process by appointing Aaron Clark, assistant U.S. attorney, to the new position of elections officer here in the state of Utah to aid in the Justice Department's effort to ensure the safety and integrity of Election Day and our election. Sir, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Oh, good. It's good to be here.
Let me first and foremost ask you about, we're going to take a step backwards. Talk to me a bit about the Justice Department's Election Day program. What are the objectives?
Primarily, our objective is to make sure that that the election goes off with as few hitches as possible and that people's right to vote is protected and that no laws are violated in the process of securing people's rights to vote in this election.
Do you expect there to be intimidation at polling places this year more so than ever?
I wouldn't say that I necessarily expect that. I certainly hope that there is not. We don't have a history of that kind of thing happening, especially here in Utah.
Right.
And, you know, I keep my fingers crossed that it will continue that way through this election.
What are some of the predicted things? What will you be paying particular attention to? You mentioned the desire to avoid hiccups and glitches and such. What will you keep your eyes on?
Well, on the federal end of things, there are laws whenever there is a federal candidate on the ballot that protect against intimidating or bribing voters, buying or selling votes, impersonating voters, stuffing ballot boxes, also civil rights protections, making sure that people are able to vote free from intimidation or harassment.
Will you have a team deployed? Will you be coordinating with agencies? What will your operations look like?
Well, we have been coordinating. My office, the U.S. Attorney's Office, has been coordinating with the FBI and several other state and local agencies to make sure that we're available to take complaints as they arise and to look into them and to make sure that things go the way that they're supposed to.
And as complaints arise, how are these complaints lodged? Let's say, for example, if a voter feels like they can't get past someone blocking a door at a polling place to cast their ballot, do they call 911? Do they somehow get in touch with your office? What do the complaints look like? How do they get to you?
Well, there are lots of different ways that you can reach somebody. If there's a crime of violence or intimidation going on, the first step is probably going to be to call 911 immediately before contacting federal authorities. But my number has also been put out there for folks to call if they have an issue arise. It's 801-325-1405. And the FBI can also be reached with complaints at 801-579-1400.
And due to the fact that there are federal elections on the ballot, that is where where some of your authorities and the resources available to you are triggered.
That's right. Although it's usually, the administration of the elections are usually handled by the state, but given that there are federal candidates on the ballot, that's where we come in to help protect those things too.
Fascinating. Talk to me about yourself. What qualifies you to head up this effort?
Well, mostly because John asked me to. But I have been an assistant U.S. attorney for almost 14 years now, about 5 years here in Utah, and prior to that, about 9 years in San Diego.
Outstanding. And these have been some of the areas that you've watched, or some of your past efforts have demonstrated abilities that would make you effective in this effort?
I hope so. I've spent most of my career actually prosecuting drug crimes, and it's only been in the last few years since getting here to Utah that I've started to move toward more white-collar offenses and things like this, election offenses.
There has been a last question I have for you, and again, we're speaking with Assistant U.S. Attorney Aaron Clark, who will head up the Justice Department's Election Day program here in the state of Utah, as he's been assigned by U.S. Attorney John Huber here in the District of Utah. Last question I have for you. There's been a lot of questions about the integrity of mail-in balloting, the mail-in ballot process. Do you have any evidence, or is there any reason to believe, at least in your office, that it's flawed?
That is something outside of my wheelhouse and department, but I don't have any more evidence than anybody else about the process. I am a resident of the state of Utah as well, and I get my election ballot the same way everybody else does here and try to cast my vote the same way everybody else does.
Very good. Well, listen, thank you for your time. Best of luck to you with these new responsibilities. I expect that you will be extra vigilant. And if there are any developments on this, or if this radio program can aid in your efforts at all to safeguard this sacred process, please pick up the phone, let me know, and we'll do what we can. Again, Aaron Clark, Assistant U.S. Attorney, thank you so much for your time and your service here.
Thank you. Take care.
All righty. We're going to take a break here in a few minutes. But before we do, let me give you a little preview of what is coming. There has been, maybe you heard me talking earlier today with Maria Chaleos, there has been for some time during the course of this pandemic, the unfortunate reality of job loss. And some of that job loss is more than the temporary. There are some industries that have been hit so savagely by the economic realities of this pandemic and the measures taken to safeguard society that certain restaurants have closed their doors forever. There are certain elements of the hospitality business which no longer have the income and the revenue to support many workers. What am I getting at here? Well, there's been a lot of job loss. And while Utah certainly enjoys a relatively low unemployment number, we have bounced back relatively well compared to our counterparts in other states, there are still those who find themselves without work. And the latest realization is that the numbers indicate the highest proportion of those without employment right now due to the coronavirus and those with the most bleakest outlook are those older Utahns and older Americans who find themselves without work. We're going to get into those details. We're going to get into what it means and if there is anything we can do to buck that trend. We'll jump into that next on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.